Welcome everyone to the TalkCC podcast. TalkCC is a cultural hub in the heart of Brussels. In our podcast, we host artists and partners to talk about various topics related to the environment, culture, and we invite them to share life experiences. The theme of this episode is when art gets involved in ecology. And our guests are Noel and Mr. X. Hi, Nolwenn, and hi, Xavier. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. How are you, Benjamin?
I'm very good, thank you.
I'm doing good too, thanks.
Yeah, very happy to be here with you guys. So you both worked on the decoration of the building De Mulder in Brussels for the project TalkCEC. And today we are going to talk about the environment and art, and how these two topics can be mixed together. So I guess that if you have chosen this theme is because the environment is something important for you. So how does that interest in the environment reflect in your art?
I don't know, you want to start?
So for me, it comes from a very personal but also a professional place. I'm actually a climate scientist by training, and I'm currently working in Belgium at the Royal Institute for Space Agronomy. And through my work, I have a lot of exposure to different topics about the environment, animals, plants, biodiversity in general is something I get exposed to on a daily basis through science articles and through my colleagues. And for me, art is a way to communicate my own personal experience with that and my way of dealing with what I see emotionally. Because I realized at one point that through my work, I was having feelings of grief and symptoms of trauma from seeing all of the terrible changes that have been taking place due to human activities. So art is my way of communicating that.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Deep, yeah.
Difficult to go after that. Eh? But yeah, no, me, I was just fascinated by the beauty of nature. Okay. And the beauty of animals. And to me, art was a way just to show people what they can do, what they can achieve with their two hands and outpass their human nature. Mm-hmm. And I decided to paint animals because to me, human beings are just part of the circle. They're not the owners of the land. They're not just ruling it. They're part of it. So I paint big animals to remind them that they're just part of something.
Yeah, okay. That humans just another animal in the
yeah, exactly.
In the jungle.
I use an encyclopedia as a reference book when I do murals.
Sure. Okay.
And I had that book to paint a mural in a school, and the kids were like just flipping the pages of the book, but they never saw a book like this. Like they don't have them anymore.
Oh, really?
And so they went through all the pieces and they went to the monkeys, and a human being was just in the book next to the gorilla.
That's nice. That's a good idea.
And to show scale or to show how related they are?
All the animals were there and the human being was there. So the kids like, why are we with the monkeys?
Well,
because we're just big monkeys.
Exactly, right. We're just big monkeys. We're part of the food chain. So
with cars and iPods. And
exactly.
I mean, all those things, like thinking we're ruling it, brought COVID, brought a lot of issues that we're suffering from now.
Yeah. You say that you both want to talk about this environment in your work. What is exactly that you're trying to say when you are painting? For instance, you talk about grief. What message do you really tell when you say, when you paint something?
So I think it comes from two different places. One is me working through these feelings of grief that I have by doing the art, by painting things that are colorful and beautiful when I feel like the world itself is becoming less colorful and less diverse. And the other thing, though, that I've been trying to communicate, especially lately, is I've been focusing on species that are endangered or have gone extinct, and it's my way of showing them, of giving them a voice, because they themselves can't speak and can't stand up for themselves. And I feel like this is a way to show people there's beauty out there that is slowly dying and is going to be gone. Once it's extinct, it's gone forever. And I feel like art is a way to preserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much the same, yes. Yeah. But I have a optimistic view because there's the grief, okay, but to me there's a lot of resilience in nature.
Yeah.
So okay. it could come back as bright as it used to be.
It's good. It's good you have that optimism.
Yeah, no,
I'm trying to find mine again.
I mean, I think I have a lot of plants. I just have a cat, but a lot of plants. And I'm always amazed by how a plant can just reproduce itself based on a single leaf. I mean, can you imagine? You cut your nail falls on the ground, and
nothing's going to grow back from that. No.
A second no year grows from it. It would be like, what the hell? Yeah, so yeah. Nature is amazing.
Oh, it's yeah. true. Nature itself is resilient and it will survive whatever we do to it in general. But the species, the individual species themselves, I mean, we're going through a mass extinction.
Yes.
That's a scientific fact right now. And that's the part that is traumatic to me, because we are losing species for what reason? I mean, we can prevent a lot of this, and we simply choose not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, maybe like some people just don't want to see it, or just don't realize what's happening. Maybe that's also why talking about it through art, also in books, in encyclopedia, stuff like that, that tells people, you know what, this page of this elephant, you know what, maybe you can tore it out because there's no more of them.
Yeah.
I love those books. I had one from the 30s, and you had some pictures, but a lot of drawings of species. Yeah, yeah. And I flipped the page and a lot of them is just disappeared. Yeah. And the one that I saw was the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
And it's a crazy animal because it looks like a bit of a tiger, between a tiger and a dog, you know.
And a fox, right?
Yeah, something like this. But the guy coming to the islands there to have sheep. Because of its looks, they thought it was eating meat, but it was not. So they gave bounties to the guy to kill them and bring them. So the more they were killing, the more money they were making. And it was pointless because the animal was no danger to the sheep. So that's how, human beings are pretty much fucked up.
Yes.
And I feel like painting them is almost a way of giving them that voice, like saying "j'existe." You know, you can't escape the fact that even though we're killing these species, they're still there, at least for now. And it would be a good conversation to see that and to have people, like you said, through the exposure, through seeing through this book. Or education, I mean, they have the opportunity to see it and to think deeply about that.
Yeah. And maybe not focus on what we've lost, but what we still have.
And so in here, we talk mostly about animals and how they are disappearing or not. But it's also about global warming. Is it also a theme that you are trying to put in your work? Like, I don't know, desert place.
I've had this my previous works.
Yeah.
Now I've changed a bit, but the previous ones I always pictured animals with. I put a polar bear in the jungle, for example, a polar bear with a duck around his waist to float. So it's just that's always. Nice. Yeah. I always had this kind of joking about it, just to make people smile, and then. What the hell?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But now I know. I decided to stop that because it was, to me, a bit too much of a.
But on the nose, perhaps.
Yeah, too obvious.
It's an interesting point, though, because I choose to paint animals because I think humans can connect to them quite easily. We have emotions, we have feelings of sympathy for an animal, but it's hard to have sympathy for the climate. I mean, it's such an abstract concept. Yeah. And I find this, especially as a scientist, when I do any kind of outreach or communication with the public, that it's a very abstract thing that I have to try to translate into something that people can care about. Because I can show you graphs and figures and plots, all of the things that I study and all the scientists study and we know and we talk about, but you're not going to care about that. I mean, it's just figures on a page. You don't have any emotional connection to it. True. But that's where art comes in. I feel like you can find that connection because, I mean, humans respond to emotion and art is a way of communicating and eliciting emotion in a way that science never could and never was intended for. But I think it's an absolutely necessary part because if I just do science and I never communicate it, what's the point?
Very interesting. Very nice. And for me, I was thinking about this picture of a tag that I always found amazing. It's saying, "I don't believe in global warming," but it's like half covered by water because water was...
There's a statue in Germany or a monument where the world leaders discussing climate change and they're mostly submerged in water.
Yeah, that's also a very good one. Yeah,
because it's a representation of something that people can connect to and feel something about, whereas it's so hard to communicate that just talking about these abstract concepts.
There are less emotion in these kinds of representation of global warming. It's true that when you see animals, when you see something beautiful or horrifying, maybe there is communication.
I also think that the imagery around climate change is negative.
Yes, it's depressing. Most of the time it is, yes.
You know, it's like you're just showing to people in their face that you're going into the hole and you're dragging everyone with it.
Yeah. It's true, but that's the reality. I mean, we don't know what else to communicate. I know it's the reality,
but it's not the way I consider my work, you know.
Yeah.
I prefer showing
because
that.
Your message would be more like, if I'm right, your message would be more like, remember what's the planet is about. You can see all these beautiful animals. You can see all the nature.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why we are fighting global warming.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
Okay, good. I thought about another side of the ecology in art. When you are painting, when you are, I don't know, doing anything, any kind of art, are you also trying to do like less waste or to by using some kind of like different paint from the industrial painting or I don't know, or different, like you would use a wood instead of plastic, for instance?
Yeah.
Is it something that you consider when you are performing?
I'd say you do art much more professionally, so you probably have more exposure to that.
But no, I'm terrible at that, actually. Okay. Yeah. It's I'm sorry. Yeah, I would love to use real products that are eco-friendly. But in graffiti,
it's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I guess it
first,
is. Yes,
and second of all, the
probably
products are not
hard
good.
To get.
They're
to.
Not good. And they're really not good. So
it's true. I mean, this touches on a really important topic too, which is personal choice and what can we do to help these issues. I mean, the average person hears this: "Oh, global warming is happening. How can I stop it? How can I help?" And then it becomes a personal responsibility. And as artists, you can say the same thing. It's our personal responsibility. If we care about the environment, we're painting about it, then shouldn't we be making every action possible to try to reduce our carbon footprint? But I feel like that's a false conclusion, because simply existing... being human
is
terrible for
end.
The environment. And I mean, if you really end. Wanted to do everything you absolutely could, you would be completely cut off from society. It's so difficult to, and then you end up feeling guilty for every action you take. I mean, I just flew back to the US to visit family last month. And
How dare you?
As a climate scientist, should I ever fly again?
That's why it's so hot in November.
It's a valid argument, but if we stopped doing these things, if we really tried to minimize our carbon footprint, we simply couldn't exist in modern society.
True. I guess it's also a matter of balance. You know, you don't have to do like everything to reduce your footprint. You know, like you said, it's impossible. But maybe you can reduce it in some area, you know, by choosing what kind of food you're going to eat, only something that is like locally, locally or something like that.
It's true. And these small changes do help, but it's still very small compared to the biggest problems with climate change. And that's also where I feel like it's why I got into science policy, actually. I've been putting more and more effort and taking my career in that direction because I feel like I want to make a bigger change than just yelling about climate science and hoping someone hears me. But even still, it's the amount of action it would take. Like right now, COP26 is going on in the UK, and the world leaders are discussing how they can make commitments to reduce their carbon footprint and try to achieve the Paris Agreement goals. And
don't start me on that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is it's already a failure in a sense, because it's non-binding. And even if all of the countries did what they agreed to with the Paris Agreement, it's not nearly enough. It's still way too slow and way too small. It's easy to be a bit pessimistic in these kind of situations, but it does help on a personal level to feel like you are making small actions at the very least.
Yes, but I mean, like you say, of course, that you feel better about yourself.
Exactly.
Because you're doing a few things. But every small action that you take, you will maybe inspire somebody else, that will inspire somebody else, and
then
it becomes like more popular to do these kind of actions. And then it gets political. Obviously, so far, not very successful, but still, it just gets louder and louder. And maybe at some point, we'll have some real actions, like prohibition of some very bad product, or I don't know. But I feel like it's like one step at a time, but we are in the right direction.
Yeah, but meters are something I don't like with the politics around the world right now with regarding climate change, because it's us the problem. We are guilty. They just put the guilt on the consumer, on the people. It's insane. They started the COP26 and Boris Johnson gave a speech.
Yeah, it's 1 minute before midnight or something like that. Yeah,
come on. The guy says our future generation won't forgive us. He just put the country in the deepest shit they ever had, and now he's saying we have to do something. No,
it's hypocritical.
And after that, he said that he said something about the forests are burned by the consumers, something like that. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're not. If you don't bring that kind of product in front of the nose of the people, the problem is solved.
Yeah.
It's not people calling the guy in the Amazonia, just set it on fire. I need my table right now. No, never.
It's the myth of the free market.
Yeah.
You have those guys, it's like interests that are out of our hands.
It's true. I totally agree. Yeah.
But we're in the middle of it, so it's easier to put the blame on us and force us to buy, for example, an electric car.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not solving the problems, that's creating another.
Yeah.
Just a little bit slower.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they use acid just to get the lithium from the ground in Africa. What the... it's one step ahead of what we used to do. We used to blow the ground up and send people to gather it, and now they're like, we have a much better way to do it. We're gonna drop acid in the ground. It's pure evil.
Yeah,
to me, it's pure evil. Like we have also with the toxic waste, the nuclear waste.
Yeah,
they just ship them on the coast of Somalia, and they drop the containers. That's what they do with it.
They want to send it to the moon. Have you heard that?
Yeah, on the moon. But come on,
maybe it would be brighter, you know, at night.
Oh my goodness!
Jesus. And also, space is. Yeah, I've seen a study about space. Like they show these amazing pictures in the movies of the blue planet.
Oh yeah, yeah, but now it's not apparently like that
now it's landfill.
Oh, no. The amount of space junk we have circling space the Earth junk, is
And they were talking about sending just a satellite just to gather all the garbage.
Yeah. We will need to at some point. It's a necessity.
Yeah, to me, it's really insane to just say, yeah, we've solved the problem. We took care of the nuclear waste. And then you learn a few years after that people are dying from cancer in Somalia because our waste is there on their beach.
Yeah.
We never chose that. It's like politicians and other guys in highest building and they just play with it. They don't care. They really don't care.
Nuclear energy is actually a point of debate in the climate community right now because a lot of climate scientists are very pro-nuclear energy because it's one of the best and most rapid solutions to fossil fuels. Even if we produce, even if it's not a sustainable source of energy, it's still the best short-term solution for our energy. I mean, it's up for debate because the argument debate, is, of course, that we produce horrible waste and it's non-sustainable.
But it's a witch hunt. You know, there's you see the nuclear sign logo and you're like Hiroshima. You think that everything is going to blow because nuclear is dangerous. But if it's cleaner than coal or fuel, why not use it? Yeah. Because everybody relies on electricity anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I painted here the wolf in the room, and the wolf is a diabolical animal, you know. When I went to paint it in the mountains in France, some guys just went completely crazy. I started painting it, and they were like, you can't paint that here. Because the lobby of the hunters is super powerful, and they still think it's like in the Middle Age. And you have the werewolf. It's not, but people still think like that in those towns. Because at some point, I think that human beings, they like to put the devil on the shoulder of something.
Yeah, always looking for...
And the wolf, that was it. Yeah. At some point, there was probably a guy that was completely twisted, psychopath in a village. He killed two girls. And they said, I don't know, it's a wolf, eh? It's the wolf. Of course it's the wolf. So they call the priest.
That?
That's and
not
they,
a human. It would not
never. A good Christian. They would never do that. So that's how the wolf ended up in the fairy tales as the bad guy. And then the idea we have of him is just evil. And it's true. Not. It's not. Human beings always do that. They always put the blame on something else. And then they try to eradicate it. Thinking the problem is disappearing, but the problem is not there. So nuclear is that.
Yeah, it's the same.
To me, the cars, it's the same. They decided to put the blame on the cars right now. But when I went to paint in Ancona, for example, you have ferries, huge ferries, just starting the engine. The black cloud is insane. And the town is completely in smoke. And to me, those guys, come on. You're going to run after the little guy that has his car and that can't park now in Brussels. And you have to force him to have an electric car. And then you start the ferry just next to him.
Yeah.
Lesser of the two evils.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's always when they focus on something, they just don't stop.
Okay. I had prepared more questions about like upcycling and stuff like that, but none of you are doing things like that, right?
I try a bit, but I go to do-it-yourself stores and I buy wood that is already cut and that's in the corner. So to me, I use the thing they were not going to sell anyways.
You'll never, no. Do you consider it?
Yeah, I have lots of old canvases that I paint over. I guess it's left over from my childhood. I grew up fairly poor, so reusing things was necessary. My mom made all of my clothes, so I still try to reuse everything I have, even though I don't need to anymore. It's a habit. So that helps a little bit too.
And storage space also. If you paint over your canvases, less space.
That's true.
Yeah, good.
It's practical.
Mm-hmm. It's practical, exactly. Easy and practical. Okay, well, thank you both for talking about the environment with me today. And see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.